We're going to read tonight some verses from the Epistle to the Hebrews at the 12th chapter. The 12th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. We're reading from verse 1 to verse 14. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, but of all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we give them reverence. That we shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which be lamed be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And the Lord will stamp his sign and seal of approval upon this reading from the infallible book. Yesterday, in my private reading of God's Word, this verse 14 was made good to me by the power of the Spirit. Holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And I notice, first of all, that there is one thing needful, and that is holiness. When you find a text of Scripture, you can only recognize its meaning and its divine truth by reading it in the context in which you find it. And this text of Scripture is found in the context of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Four times the word holy or holiness is mentioned in this epistle. If you turn over with me to chapter 3, you'll read in chapter 3 and verse 1, "Wherefore, holy brethren." Wherefore, holy brethren. Here we have the stamp and characteristic of the child of God. The child of God stands out in sharp contrast to everyone else. He is holy. Holiness is the stamp of a child of God. What is holiness? Holiness is separation from all evil. Holiness is the attribute of God. Holiness is the nature of God. And the person who is a true believer has not only said goodbye to living in sin, but has a positive holiness. He's part of the holy brotherhood of God. Those that live in sin cannot be holy, but those that live in holiness cannot live in sin. There is a distinct separation between holiness and sin. We are holy, brethren. Then if you look at Hebrews chapter 7, you'll find the word appears again. And this time it is connected with a high priest. For such an high priest, Hebrews 7 and 26, became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Notice the description, the definition of holiness. Christ is holy. Why? Because he's harmless. Christ is holy because he's undefiled. Christ is holy because he's separated from sinners. Christ is holy because he's made higher than the heavens. So holiness has a fourfold characteristic. It is harmlessness. It's undefiledness. It is separation. And it has within it the very heights of heaven. Reading in the epistle to the Ephesians, we read that he has raised us up together, and we're made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where did you walk today? with your feet in the gutter? Or then will you walk with your feet on the mountain of God? Just ask yourself that question. There's no use claiming to be holy if we don't walk in the holiest of places. And God blesses those sanctified and separated and walking in high places in Christ Jesus. But again, if you turn over to the 12th chapter of Hebrews, you'll find this word holy and holiness reoccurring. And at verse 10, for they verily, Hebrews 12 and 10, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, that is our heavenly Father, chastens us for our own profit, that we might be partakers of holiness? No. That we might be partakers of his holiness. That you should be a partner with the God of holiness in the being, the attribute of his holiness. That's what heaven is. It's a holy place. The holiness of God is stamped on every stone in the New Jerusalem. It's stamped on every pathway in the New Jerusalem. It's stamped upon the river of holiness that flows through heaven. It's stamped in the trees of life that grow by the river. Heaven is a holy place for a holy people. And so God has called us unto holiness. And then we come to verse 14, my text, follow peace with all men. You'll notice that men is an italic in your authorized version. So it's follow peace with all and holiness. Holiness. The one thing needful. But look at the text again. And the text says these words, without which no man shall see the Lord. Without which, here is the one thing essentially. If we haven't got holiness, then we cannot stand in the way and in the will of God. For does not his word tell us, without holiness? Holiness is essential. And you cannot walk with God except you walk in holiness. If you look with me to Hebrews chapter 7. In the 7th chapter of Hebrews, you will find the story of a man. And this man had some things that he had not. He was without father, verse 3 of Hebrews. He was without mother. He was without descent. He had neither beginning of days nor end of life. He was made like unto the Son of God, and he abideth a priest continually. Who was he? He was Melchizedek. There were some things about this man that he was without. No father, no mother, no genealogy, no beginning of days, no end of life. But he was made like unto the Son of God, and he abided a priest continually. Here we have the definition of holiness. Holiness is not begotten as we are begotten. The person who is holy has no father to point to for holiness. No mother to point to for holiness. No pedigree to point to for holiness. He never was born. He had no beginning of days. He had no end of life. What are we talking about? We're talking about the life everlasting. Everlasting life. It has no mother. It has no father. It has no beginning of days. It has no death. It is like the Son of God. And there is one thing that is essential. And that one thing is this holiness. And if we don't have it, we're lost. We may make a fair show in the flesh. We may make a very high profession. But the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. If you look again at the text, you'll see the one thing inclusively. It says very, very clearly in this scripture, these precious words that we must keep before us. Turn back to the 12th chapter and the verse 10, or the verse 14 rather. Follow peace with all men. With all men. And holiness, without which no man, no man. This is a tremendous net that God throws out around a man, and he writes upon it, no man without holiness can see God. The whole apostate churches are trying to get to God without holiness. They have apostate ceremonial, apostate fellowships, apostate sacraments, apostate theology. But they can't make it, because none of these things go into the making of true holiness before the Lord. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which, I trust those words will burn into your heart, without which. For if you don't have this holiness, you're a lost soul. You might think yourself a fine Christian. You might think yourself a wonderful Christian. You might boast of many things, but without holiness, you'll never see God. And at the last day, you'll hear God saying to you, I know you not. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Yeah, there's one thing needful. There's one thing essential. And there's one thing inclusively. And except we are included in God's standard of holiness, we are a lost, deceived, and headed for the damnation of hell itself. Oh, that God would give us a trembling in our hearts to be holy men and women. It was the old Scottish Covenantan preacher who said, God send us holy ministers. God send us holy people in the pew. God send us holy Sabbath school teachers. God send us holy man and woman, and the world will be rocked, not by the power of man, but by the power of God. We need this holiness that becomes of those who are truly born of the Spirit of God. But if you look again at the text, you'll find that there's something here about seeing, which without which no man shall see the Lord. One thing that is impossible is to see God and not have holiness. You can only see Him if you're a holy man, a holy woman, cleansed, sanctified, indwelt, and walking in the keeping of God's commandments. For in the keeping of God's commandments, there is great reward. One thing, they cannot see God except they have holiness. Blinded forever, led out into the blackness of darkness forever, to be said of you as the doors of eternal darkness are open. You never saw the Lord. You never will see Him. You're going down into the dungeon of the darkest hell. No man can see God without holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And then last of all, please notice the one thing sovereignly. You have to see the Lord. It's not the Lord's servant you need to see. It's not even the Lord's book that you need to read. You have to become acquainted with the Lord Himself. A personal, living knowledge of Christ. So we walk with Him. We talk with Him. He tells us we are His own. This is the man that will walk someday in the highest place of all. That will link arms with the Christ of God. And walk in the golden streets of the golden city. Who will wear the crown and sit beside Jesus on the throne. This is the person who's written off in the book of the Revelation, an overcomer. And that place as an overcomer is for you and me. You don't get it by works. You get it by grace. You don't get it by making yourself a goodie. You get it by having on the imputed righteousness of Christ. All your righteousness is as filthy rags. But Christ's righteousness has not a stain or a spot upon it. Do you remember what the prodigal's father said? Put the best robe on him. And Christ tonight wants us to open the wardrobe, to take out the best robe, which is the imputed righteousness of Christ, and to wrap ourselves in the garment of Jesus, lover of our soul. Then we will be accepted of God today and tomorrow. And when the day of death comes, at death, and when we cross the river to the great eternity, welcome shall the angels cry as another man, another woman clad in the righteousness of Christ fulfills this text. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts in Jesus' name.